Siddhartha by Hermann Hesse. My name is Mir. I am starting high school, and one of my assignments is to read a couple of novels on a list form by some teachers. I singled out the list to two books, one being Siddhartha. I am also doing an internship for Orville Radio, and thought I could share my experience and a summary of the novel Siddhartha. The book has a few sentences that will and can inspire even the most holy people about life. Siddhartha is really eye-opening, and most cannot comprehend his almost ludicrous philosophies at first. Yet, they seem so appropriate after a brief moment of reflection. The novel portrays Siddhartha's story of his victory over human agony, possession, and being succumbed by fear. He tries to search for a life without attachment, but will later follow this path until one day he is re-enlightened and continues the journey to his final fulfillment. Siddhartha will later realize that without experiencing the life of a common man driven by fear, can you truly reach your final fulfillment of life? Summary of Siddhartha. The Brahmin's Son. Siddhartha was born a Brahmin's son and grew up with his friend Govinda. Siddhartha participates in all holy acts, meditation, and discussions with elder Brahmins. He feels discontent. He feels he has learned all he can from his teachings and books, and seeks enlightenment. Siddhartha plans on becoming a samana after meditating with his friend Govinda. Later, he tells his parents about his decision. His father is enraged and storms out of the room. Siddhartha remains in the room and stays there for hours and continues to stay there, until his father comes back and accepts his decision. With the Samanas. Siddhartha and his friend Govinda join the Samanas. Siddhartha gives away all his clothes, begins fasting for long periods, and believes that he will empty himself through self-torture. Siddhartha's goal was to become empty of thirst, desire, dreams, pleasure, and sorrow. He wanted to let his self die. Siddhartha wanted to experience peace of an emptied heart, to experience pure thought. Yet, he felt he was not progressing. One day, he approached Govinda and told him what he was feeling. They decided to leave the Samanas after learning of a man by the name of Gautama Buddha, who has said to have achieved enlightenment. Siddhartha and Govinda think they should hear the Buddha's teachings. Gautam. Siddhartha and Govinda went to Jetavana Grove, where the Buddha was going to give a speech the following morning. At the moment they saw the Buddha, they were sure it was him, so contented, peaceful, enlightened, and quiet. Siddhartha listens to the Buddha describing his teachings of the Eightfold Path. Siddhartha admired his teachings, but argues the impossibility of becoming enlightened from another person's teachings. The Buddha accepts Siddhartha's choice, and Siddhartha departs after giving farewell to his dear friend Govinda. Awakening. Siddhartha has left the grove, from which the Buddha remains, from which Govinda remains, and from which his former self remains. He felt something had left him, like the old skin the snake sheds. Something was no longer with him, something that accompanied him right through his youth and was part of him. This was the desire to have teachers and to listen to their teachings. Siddhartha, for the first time, is seeing the world as beautiful and real, and not as suffering from his former teachings. This is his awakening. Along with his decision is the realization of being alone, after leaving everyone in his life. Kamala. Siddhartha began to seek experience, appreciate his surrounding, and decides to always obey his inner voice. He comes across a ferryman who he befriends, and the ferryman takes Siddhartha across the river. While crossing, the ferryman tells Siddhartha to learn from the river, and believes Siddhartha will return one day. Siddhartha enters a village, sits next to a lady washing clothes. Though foreign, they flirt, and she invites him to have sex. Siddhartha wants to, but had never touched a woman before, and his inner voice tells him not to. He arrives on the outskirts of a city, and makes eye contact with another gorgeous woman. Siddhartha looks like a beggar at his current state, so he does not proceed to follow her. Siddhartha learns her name, Kamala, and finds out that she is a famous courtesan. He bathes, oils his hair, and shaves, and arranges an appointment with her. He asks her to be his friend and teacher in the art of sexual healing. Kamala finds it ridiculous that an ascetic from the forest wants to learn sexual education from her. Siddhartha is told to get a job, lots of money, perfume, presents, then will she give him another chance. Siddhartha makes a poem for her. Into her grove went the fair Kamala. At the entrance to the grove stood the brown Samana. As he saw the lotus flower, deeply he bowed, smiling, acknowledged Kamala. Better, thought the young Samana, to make sacrifices to the fair Kamala than to offer sacrifices to the gods. He was awarded with a kiss. Kamala has set up a job interview with a wealthy merchant, Kamaswami, the following day for Siddhartha. Amongst the people. Siddhartha went to Kamaswami and was shown into a rich house, in which servants guided him along costly carpets into a room where he waited. When Kamaswami arrives, he begins to question Siddhartha's skills. Siddhartha explains what he can do. And after Kamaswami learns that reading and writing are not foreign to Siddhartha, he offers Siddhartha a job and shelter. Siddhartha begins to live a wealthy life, is respected by Kamaswami, yet his real interest still lies with Kamala. He begins to visit Kamala daily, and she instructs him in the physical acts of love. The people around Siddhartha begin to grow on him, yet he feels distant and can see their misfortunes, pains, displeasures only from afar. Siddhartha explained how he sees the man to Kamala. Most people, Kamala, are like a falling leaf that drifts and turns in the air, flutters and falls to the ground. But a few others are like stars which travel one defined path. No wind reaches them. They have within themselves their guide and path. Siddhartha also explained how he only feels comfort and satisfaction when he is with Kamala. Kamala expresses her love, tells Siddhartha that he is the best lover she has ever had, and one day would like to have a child with him. Sansara. During this phase of Siddhartha's life, wealth starts to grow, and most of his Samala-like qualities begin to fade. Siddhartha starts to become greedy, has a sense of self-hatred, feels unhappy, and is troubled by everyday problems. Siddhartha tries to recall his life, to remember when he had a sense of direction and was happy. After his recollection, he notices that at this moment, nothing in his life matters to him, not even Kamala. He leaves his home and riches. Kamaswami send people to look for him, but Kamala knows what path Siddhartha had chosen. She knows that he will always be a Samana at heart, but she has just found out she was pregnant with Siddhartha's child. By the river. Siddhartha swears to never go back to his life of wealth. He has put that past him and has to move on. He was deeply entangled in samsara. He had drawn nausea and death to himself from all sides, like a sponge that absorbs water until it is full. He was full of ennui, full of misery, full of death. There was nothing left in the world that could attract him, that could give him pleasure and solace. Siddhartha begins to wander. He comes in contact with a river and rests under a coconut tree with the holy word Om on his lips. When Siddhartha awoke, he felt like a new man and calmly said the word Om to himself. Softly, he said the word Om to himself, over which he had fallen asleep. It seemed to him as if his whole sleep had been a long pronouncing of Om, thinking of Om, an immersion and penetration into Om, into the nameless, into the divine. Siddhartha felt refreshed and saw a man sitting across from him in a yellow robe. Siddhartha looked at the man for a while, only to realize it was his friend Govinda. Siddhartha noticed that Govinda still hadn't recognized him. Upon Govinda's departure, Siddhartha said, "Goodbye, Govinda." The monk froze and asked him how he knew his name. Siddhartha confessed while laughing. Govinda was joyous, and they begin to talk. Siddhartha explains his life so far, that he has left wealth and is now on a pilgrimage. Siddhartha is amused of his life so far and is shown in the course of the river. Siddhartha remained in a trance while gazing upon the river. The Ferryman. Siddhartha by the river meets the ferryman, who predicted Siddhartha's return to the river. His name is Vasudeva, the ferryman. Siddhartha offers Vasudeva his clothes and asks to stay with him to learn about and from the river. Vasudeva welcomes him, offers him a plate of food, and listens to Siddhartha's life. Siddhartha is astonished of how well Vasudeva is able to listen. Without saying a word, the speaker felt that Vasudeva took in every word, quietly, expectantly, that he was missing nothing. He did not await anything with impatience, and gave neither praise nor blame. He only listened. Before going to bed, Siddhartha tells Vasudeva that he too will learn to listen as well as Vasudeva. While time passed, the river taught Siddhartha about life. He once asked Vasudeva, "Have you also learned the secret from the river? That there is no such thing as time?" A bright smile spread over Vasudeva's face. "Yes, Siddhartha," he said. "Is this what you mean? That the river is everywhere at the same time? At the source and at the mouth? And the waterfall? At the ferry? At the current? In the ocean and in the mountains? Everywhere. And that the present only exists for it? Not the shadow of the past, nor the shadow of the future?" Siddhartha and Vasudeva continued to enjoy themselves, learn, and create a better companionship with each other. One day, a traveling monk meets with Siddhartha, and he learns that Gautama Buddha is very ill. Meanwhile, Kamala had become a follower of the Buddha and had made a pilgrimage to go see him. Her son and her stopped by the river Siddhartha was staying at to rest. While resting, she was bitten by a snake. Vasudeva hears her cry and brings her home. As soon as Siddhartha sees her, he must have said to himself, "This must be Kamala." Kamala confessed after seeing Siddhartha was sitting just as acceptable as witnessing the dying Buddha. The Sun. Siddhartha's son grieves. Siddhartha constantly comforts his son, even when he is completely unreasonable and disrespectful. Siddhartha would like to teach about pain and suffering, yet his child feels trapped from Siddhartha's endless kindness. Young Siddhartha was happy, so he stole money and ran away. Siddhartha wanted to chase young Siddhartha and explain to Vasudeva, "How can I part from him? Give me time, my dear friend. I'm fighting for him. I'm trying to reach his heart. I will win him with love and patience. The river will also talk to him one day. He is also called." Vasudeva smiled and explained, "Oh yes, he is also called. He belongs to the everlasting life. But do you and I know what he is called, to which path, which deeds, which sorrows. His sorrows will not be slight. His heart is proud and loud. He will probably suffer much, make many mistakes, do injustice, and commit many sins. Tell me, my friend, are you educating your son? Is he obedient to you? Do you strike him or punish him? Siddhartha responds, No, Vasudeva, I do not do any of these things. Vasudeva continues, I knew it. You are not strict with him. You do not punish him. You do not command him. Because you know that gentleness is stronger than severity, that water is stronger than rock, that love is stronger than force. Very good, I praise you. But is it not perhaps a mistake on your part not to be strict with him, not to punish him? Do you not chain him with your love? Do you not shame him with your daily goodness and patience, and make it still more difficult for him? Siddhartha is confused on what he must do next after Vasudeva's words of wisdom. Vasudeva convinces Siddhartha to bring his son to the house where he once lived in with Kamala, where servants could take care of him. Siddhartha goes to the town, meditates, wakes up, and sees Vasudeva. They return home and neither speak of the boy. Om. Siddhartha took many people across the river. At first, he was jealous after seeing a son and father pass. Later, he wanted to go see his son in the village. Before departing on his journey, he realized that the same scenario had happened to him and his father. The river laughed of the repetition of life's patterns. Siddhartha went to explain his experience to Vasudeva. While explaining, Siddhartha realized that the man listening to him was no longer man. Siddhartha felt disclosing his wounds to this attentive man was like bathing it in a river. He absorbed Siddhartha's confession as a tree absorbs rain. This motionless man was the river itself, that he was God himself. Vasudeva brings Siddhartha to the river, with little guidance, Siddhartha learns to hear all the different voices of the river. They belong to each other. The lament of those who yearn, the laughter of the wise, the cry of the indignation and groan of the dying. They were all interwoven and interlocked, entwined in a thousand ways. And all the voices, all the goals, all the yearnings, all the sorrows, all the pleasures, all the good and evil, all of them together was the world. When Siddhartha listened attentively to this river, to this song of a thousand voices, when he did not bind his soul to any particular voice and absorb it in himself, but heard them all, the whole, the unity, the great song of a thousand voices consisted of one word. Om. Vasudeva left into the forest after feeling complete. They said goodbye to each other. Vasudeva, the ferryman, was over. Now it was Siddhartha, the ferryman. Govinda. Govinda has become a wise man, and many look up to him. But he feels incomplete and seeks enlightenment. He learns of a wise ferryman, not knowing it is Siddhartha. He goes and meets Siddhartha once again. Siddhartha explains that if he orientates himself to a single goal, he is missing out on everything. When someone is seeking, it happens quite easily that he only seeks the thing that he is seeking, that he is unable to find anything, unable to absorb anything, because he is only thinking of the thing he is seeking, because he has one goal, because he is obsessed with his goal. Siddhartha invited Govinda to stay the night, and Govinda slept in the bed that had once been Vasudeva's. In the morning, before Govinda was going to go, he asked Siddhartha one more question. Have you a doctrine, belief or knowledge which you uphold, which helps you to live and do right? Siddhartha responded, you know, my friend, that even as a young man, when we lived with ascetics in the forest, I came to distrust doctrines and teachers and to turn my back on them. Govinda believed Siddhartha and wanted to know if Siddhartha has certain thoughts, a certain knowledge that helps Siddhartha live. Siddhartha replied, I have had many thoughts, but it would be difficult for me to tell you about them. But this is one thought that has impressed me, Govinda. Wisdom is not communicable. The wisdom in which a wise man tries to communicate always sounds foolish. Siddhartha explains that time is misleading, suffering is necessary to learning, and there is no dividing line between this world and eternity, between suffering and bliss, between good and evil. It is an illusion. Govinda is bewildered. Siddhartha then lifted a stone off the ground and held it in his hand. This is a stone, and within a certain length of time, it will perhaps be soil, and from the soil, it will become a plant, animal, or man. Previously, I would have said this is just a stone. It has no value. It belongs to the world of Maya. But perhaps because within the cycle of change, it can also become man and spirit. It is also important. That is what I have thought. But now I think, the stone is stone. It is also animal, God, and Buddha. I do not respect and love it because it was one thing and will become something else. Because it has already long been everything and always is everything. I love it just because it is a stone. Because today and now it appears to be a stone. Siddhartha tells Govinda to kiss his forehead. After kissing Siddhartha, he saw Siddhartha's smile, no longer knowing whether time existed. Govinda bowed low. Uncontrollable tears trickled down his old face. He was overwhelmed by feeling of great love. He bowed low, right down to the ground. From Siddhartha's smile, he was reminded of everything that he loved in his life, of everything that had been of value and holy in his life.